Well, from the first time I met your pastor, I fell in love with him. Now, I'm probably going to leak a lot today, but it ain't bad tears. It's just if I had the privilege of seeing God do so many things. Really appreciate the invitation y'all have given me, the opportunity to come. I've never been out west. Farthest I ever was west was Louisiana. And it was so hot and humid there, I couldn't stand it. All I did was stand outside and sweat. And I thank God for the warm invitation you all folks have given me here this morning. I've never been in a church where I felt any more welcome and at home. And I thank God for that. Thank God for Brother Aaron and Joy and his family taking care of me. Joy, she's cooked and fed me good, and the children, they're just a blessing to be around. I love to be around young people with a heart for the Lord. Brother Aaron, if we can, let's go ahead and put those pictures up. I wanted to say one thing, too. I appreciate all the men at the prayer breakfast yesterday. I enjoy a good hearty meal anytime I get a chance. You can tell they're looking at me. And everything there was good, but that elk gravy, that was as good as I ever ate. And I really enjoyed that. And then all the men, we got to go out and go shooting. I ain't never seen so many guns. And one time, and I don't know how long, if our president ever declares martial law, I'm loading up and moving out here west. And then dear brother Jim and his wife had me over for lunch yesterday, and Matt and Jim took me out and the kids, and we got to go out and jump up some of them jackrabbits. He's got the biggest rabbits here I ever seen. They look like they was on steroids. We had a good time. Appreciate that, fellas, and love being around the kids. I love those kids we was around yesterday. They're just a blessing. Well, this little girl you see on the screen here is my daughter, Amanda. She's my firstborn. And this is the same red dress she had on in the story I'm going to relate to you today. The same red dress she had on the day God used her in my life. Go ahead, Brother Aaron, to the next picture. This is her in her teenage years. She gave her heart to the Lord at a young teenage age and really has been one more blessing to her daddy. Been used to the Lord many times. Okay, brother. This is the two daughters directly behind me are my biological children, the little boy and the girl. Little girl to the left were two children the Lord led me to take in. Many years ago, they were my brother-in-law's children. He was a very wicked man. He abused the children, never took care of them. He was just a drunkard, a dope addict, a whoremonger. I believe he was even demon-possessed. He was such a wicked man. But the Lord had been working in my heart, and we took them in. We raised those kids for probably about 13 years. Now, they recently turned away from the Lord. And that's a grief, but the Lord knows all things. But my daughters that are directly behind me have stayed the course and really been one more blessing and encouragement to their dad for many years. Okay, Brother Aaron. This is Calvary Lighthouse Mission. We're in the providence of God. He opened the door for me to stay for a few months while my wife and I went through a divorce. But I'm thankful for my time that was here. God taught me a lot while I was there. Got to stay there with two other men. This was specifically for men off the streets. There's a man in our church, Brother Paul Keck. He preaches on street evangelism every Friday night to men off the streets. And if men get saved and they're strung out on drugs and down on their luck and having trouble, this is where they can stay. And the Lord opened the door for me to stay here for a while, and I was thankful. I saw him. I saw him provide many ways and many different things here. Okay, brother. Now, this is a culmination of things. I wanted to get a few more pictures together, but I just run out of time. But you can see how I was trying to show a little progression here. Just ain't too good at it, but this was a culmination of things. That was just one more blessing, too, after several years of trials and struggles, to be able to have the privilege to give my daughters away to godly young men. Okay, brother. This is my daughter, Cassie. There she is. She's 2 years younger than my older daughter, but she got married a year earlier. So I'm thankful for that. This is my older daughter, Amanda. This is a little girl in a red dress when she's growing up. And this is the privilege God gave me of walking her down the aisle one day. And this is them when I saw all together. This is my oldest daughter and her grandson. She's given me this, her son, Wesley. Wesley's graduated with an undergrad degree and a master's degree, a master of divinity degree. Feels like God's called him to preach. And they want to serve the Lord. This is my grandson, Kevin. Oh, and grandchildren are something, ain't they? Anybody's got them, they're a blessing. I wouldn't take nothing for them. That's a picture of him again. He was named Kevin Homer after his grandfather's, in hopes and prayer that he would follow his grandfather's God. On the far left is my daughter and her husband, me and my grandson, and one of the boys in the middle there holding that degree is my younger daughter, Cassie's husband, Tyler, and Tyler's sister. And to the right of Tyler, one of his friends that graduated with him, and his Tyler's parents, they're missionaries in Brazil. Tyler was raised in Portugal and Brazil and speaks Portuguese and has a heart to go serve the Lord himself. So I'm looking forward to seeing what the Lord will do. I knew early in my life, after all the trials God had for me and my children to go through, that God was preparing them for something else. So I know he just loaned them to me. I'm thankful for the time he's given to me, but I know one day he's going to call me away. And this is my youngest daughter giving me a grandchild, Christiana Elizabeth. This is a picture of them all together. They have been one more blessing, a gift from the Lord. Well, I'm just going to share with you today some things that I've experienced personally, because that's the only thing I know. I don't like Brother Aaron said, I don't have no training. But I know what God done for me. I'd really like to thank you all for giving me this opportunity. I really look forward to being here with you all ever since Brother Aaron mentioned this. I love to meet new brothers and sisters in Christ and hear their stories of how God saved them and what work he's done in their lives. I feel a deep kindred spirit here with your pastor, and for the first time I met him, I appreciate his heart for the Lord and his burden for souls. And for my appreciation for him only grows. Over the years, I've had the privilege of God surrounding me with men like your pastor. They have been like a guardrail to me, helping keep me on the right path, the road as I've traveled down this life called, as I've traveled down this road called life. Proverbs 1:5 says, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. My story begins in a little coal mining town in southeastern Kentucky called Williamsburg. My father was a coal miner for about 21 years. My mother was a school teacher. I was taken to church faithfully till I got to be about 16. And then I went my own way. This led to a life of selfishness, immorality, drinking, and drugs. My dad knew I was heading for trouble, so he began to ask the Lord to move me on somewhere else. After working in a coal temple in the mines myself for about 5 years, an opportunity came up for me to go to vocational school in Oak Ridge, Tennessee, and take machining. From that school, I was offered a job in South Carolina. I moved my then girlfriend down to South Carolina with me. And my girlfriend got pregnant and we got married. And along came two children. It wasn't until a few years after this when I got saved. And look back, that it wasn't an accident that I'd ended up here and that all these things had been done. It was a providence of God and a clear answer to my dad's prayers. Now, every time I share my testimony, Brother Aaron spoke against this morning, and I'm going to take to heart what he said about not letting the devil bring up your past. But every time I tell my story, I'm ashamed of how it starts out. But just as a jeweler will often lay a diamond up against a black cloth, so that the black cloth, so that the dark background only magnifies the diamond, may the dark background of my life only magnify the one who saved me. We soon moved to a little town called Travelers Rest, South Carolina, right at the foothills of the North Carolina mountains. We lived out in the country, and there was a little country church there called Bellevue Baptist near where we lived. My wife started taking our children to the church. Amanda was 5 and Cassie was 3, that little country church. And the pastor and deacons would come and visit me from time to time, and I'd listen to what they had to say and then send them on their way. They never fazed me. My heart was so hard. I knew if I went to church, I'd have to give up my sin, and I just didn't want to. But eventually it got to the point that when my wife would get up and take my children to church, I'd miss them. I knew as a father it was my responsibility to take them to God's house. But there again, I didn't want to go because I didn't want to give up my sin. I liked it. I loved it. I just tell you. Only a year earlier, God had spared my life when I was nearly struck by lightning. I was standing on the back porch drinking, cooking on a grill, and a storm come up. Me and my wife was arguing. I took the Lord's name in vain. And as a bolt of lightning come down out of heaven, I heard it crack, and I could tell it was right over me. We lived in a little old house behind a hardware store there, and that lightning hit the corner of that hardware store. And it blowed bricks off the top of that building over in my yard and up on the porch around where I was standing. And the light just flashed down there, it scared me to death. I was standing on a wet concrete porch barefoot, and if that lightning hit me, I'd have been fried. But God spared my life and was merciful. And then God really began to work a few years later. One day I was out working on an old lawnmower, and it's getting hot. So I told my daughter Amanda, who was only 5 years old, I said, "Go in the house and get your daddy a beer." She said, "No, Daddy." I thought she didn't hear me. So I told her again. I said, "Amanda, go in the house and get your daddy a beer." She bowed up on me like a little soldier in the Lord's army, like we teach them. She said, "No, Daddy." Then I knew she heard me. It made me mad. So I asked her, I said, "Amanda, you want a whipping?" She said, "No, sir." I said, "Well, I said, go in the house and get me a beer." She said, "Daddy, I can't." I said, "Why not?" She said, "Because they're bad for you." And that made me mad. I said, "Where'd you learn that at?" She said, "At church." When she said that, God smote my heart. Never felt so ashamed in all my life. I knew that was from the Lord, because it had such a weight to it. The wave of conviction came over me, and the weight of that literally just broke my heart. It unsettled me. Needless to say, I never asked her that again that day. I couldn't get over those words. Couldn't get them out of my mind all week. And God allowed my sin to grow heavier and heavier. Then next Sunday morning when they got up and went to church, I wanted to go with them. I missed them when they were gone. But I didn't want to give up my sin. Well, I was sitting at the kitchen table drinking that morning when I heard the car pull up. I heard a car door slam. Heard my daughter Amanda come skipping up the steps and through the back door. She had on a little red dress with white lace on it. I'll never forget it. She come through that door, her face shined like a new penny. She crawled up in my lap, looked me right dead straight in the eyes, and said, "Daddy, Jesus died for me and you did." The weight of that once again broke my heart. I never remember feeling so ashamed in all my life. Cold chills come up on me big as a dime. As tight tears fill my eyes. Lump come up my throat. All I could do was choke out, "Yes, honey, he did." In an instant, God had brought back to my memory the lifestyle I'd been living, right full blown in my face. I knew that I'd been teaching her. I should have been teaching her, and here God was using her to teach me. She slid down on my lap, skipped on through the house. I sat there and wept. Once again, these words convicted me all week long as my sin once again grew heavier and heavier. But I was so ignorant, I thought I had to go to church to get saved. But by the grace of God, next Sunday morning when I got up, I went with them. I was tired of my sin. I sat through Sunday school and through church. Don't even remember what the message was about. But when they gave the invitation, they played the perfect song for me. It was "Just As I Am." I thought for years that I had to clean myself up before I went to church, before God would save me. But that ain't right. I listened real good that day to that song. Verse 1 said, "Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come." Tears poured from my eyes as I clenched the back of the pew in front of me, still trying to fight it off. But God drew me on to himself, and on the last verse when I heard people singing, "Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve. Because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come, I come." I turned loose to the pew, walked forward and told the pastor I need to be saved. He knelt there at the altar and led me to Christ. I'd almost turned around 3 times that morning going to church, but that evening I couldn't wait to get back. For a few years after I got saved, things went pretty good. But as I began to grow spiritually, excuse me, sometimes I can't even see my paper here. But as we know, as we begin to grow spiritually, God began to show me some serious sin in that church. So I began to pray and ask the Lord to lead me to another church, a good sound church, where I could grow. I prayed that way for 2 years, and one day God made it clear to me where and when to go. And he led us to a church called Mount Calvary Baptist Church. There we met more serious-minded believers But as we all know, when God starts working in a big way, Satan is sure to do all that is in his power to stop it or hinder it. My wife of nearly 16 years hated it. She came two or three times and wouldn't come back. She told me I was a fool, I'd made a mistake, and that I'd never fit in that church. Well, I felt the same way, but when we'd all sit down and the pastor would start preaching, the scriptures started coming alive to me and my children. I began to learn how to apply God's word to my life. He began to show me my role as a father and as a husband to my family. Began to show me that it wasn't all about me. It's about living for God and raising my family right. I would go home and have devotions and times of prayer with my children, but unfortunately my wife hated the changes God was making. This led to much tension and strife in our family, just as Matthew chapter 10 speaks of. Though she had professed to have been saved, she was only playing church. She was not. Within a year, she asked me about taking in her brother, Tim's children. He was a wicked man, so after a time of prayer, I agreed. Nathan was 5 and Serena was 3. Nathan had already lost his right foot in a tractor accident because of the recklessness of his father. I got him took in at the Shriners, and his heel was cut off first, but it got set up gangrene, and ended up got him taken in to Shriners, and they had to take the rest of his foot off. They fitted him with prosthesis until he was 18. Within the first 2 years of taking the children in, because her dad was going to prison and he wanted me to take them, I nearly had to fight him 4 times, and he threatened to kill me twice. By this time, my wife had also decided she didn't want anything to do with real Christianity and filed for divorce. She had papers served on me and led me to believe that that meant I had to leave the house. I didn't want her dragging the kids all over the place, so I packed a suitcase and left. And the next day, she filed papers on me saying I abandoned them. Please don't get me wrong. I'm not claiming to have been a perfect husband, but I was trying to raise my children for God. One of my life verses is 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the Lord runs to and fro throughout the whole earth, seeking to show himself strong to them whose heart is perfect toward him. Now, we know our hearts are not perfect, but I think that verse means if God has our hearts and we pray, he will show himself strong to us at certain times. We went through years of trials, but I could write a book on the prayers we've seen God answer and the doors he alone could open. I placed both my daughters in Christian school. I'd placed them both in school by now, and that cost me $700 to $800 a month. Plus, I had to pay my wife $700 a month unallocated support. And I knew God had led me to put them there, and I didn't want to take them out, but I had nearly nothing left to live on. These pressures pressed me down upon my knees, and for one of the first times in my life, I got serious about my prayer life. I learned that praying God's promises back to him is John 15:7. John 15:16 was solid ground. The Lord soon opened doors for me to live at Calvary Lighthouse Mission that I showed you the picture of, by a man from our church named Paul Keck. Paul was a street evangelist and preaches in Greenville on Friday nights. And the men is open for, the mission is there and open for men that get saved and need to get back on track. I lived there for 4 months with 2 men who had been heroin addicts and were also homeless. But I don't want you to feel sorry for me, because that was a door open God opened for me, and I never had to take my children out of Christian school. God made a way, and I got to see him do it. I grew spiritually while I was there. These trials crowded me even closer to Christ. Brothers and sisters, when trials come into our life, we're either going to harden our heart and turn away from God, or we're going to yield, and we're going to seek what he's trying to teach us, and we're going to learn, we're going to change. We were in church where the meat of scriptures was being taught, and we learned to look at trials scripturally. 5 months into my separation, my lawyer told me I needed to find a place to ever have a hope of getting custody of my children, and that the guardian ad litem would be coming into the scene in 4 weeks. You ever tried to find a place where you could leave teenage daughters, where you leave work at 4:30 in the morning that you could trust, that you could afford in the midst of that? That's nearly impossible. But my Sunday school class, and we bathed that in prayer, and God opened doors. I was put under a lot of pressure by this, because I left work, but like I say, we just seen God work and answer prayers here again and again. When I found a place to rent, I asked the man if he'd take any off the rent, and he gave me some $50 a month off the rent right off the bat. The trailer already had a refrigerator, stove, dishwasher, washer, and dryer, and it had a couch, and the couch made a bed, because when I left my home, I left with one suitcase and wasn't allowed to go back. I was overwhelmed at God's goodness, because soon after that I got a phone call, and I had a sister that had some furniture she said I could use if I'd come and get it. So within just a few weeks' time, God provided us a home in a good neighborhood that I could afford, and he filled it with furniture. Now, brothers and sisters, I was up against the Red Sea and the Egyptians coming down the other side. And when something like that happens and you've exhausted every means, you know how to do it and it don't happen. When it happens, there ain't no doubt where that come from. That was the Lord. That was God done that. And man, did that strengthen my faith. And in 6 months, the guardian ad litem came in and she interviewed me and my wife, and she told the judge, said, these kids need to be with the father. And at 10 months in our separation, I was awarded custody of my daughters. What a blessing that was. The children I'd taken in weren't old enough to have a say-so in it, so the judge ruled since they were her blood kin that they ought to stay with her. But I continued to try to raise them for the Lord and go 2 miles with them, as Scripture said. In hopes of helping someone here today, I want to challenge you all to stay in this good church. If trials are in your life, you need to be under the preaching and teaching of God's Word. I've heard it said that church is where we go to get right, do right, and stay right. I don't know about you, but sometimes staying right's hard for me. We need the accountability. We need sound preaching and teaching of God's Word. We need the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. And we need true Christian friends who hold us accountable. They're like a guardrail to us. When trials come, what do we want to do? We want to squirt out. Well, you think about a guardrail. Where do they put guardrails? In dangerous places. That guardrail's there. So if you're traveling down the road in your vehicle and you're getting sleep and you got your family in there and you start to veer off the right path, you hit that guardrail, it wakes you up and it throws you back out on the right road. That's what good preaching, convicting power of the Spirit of God, and good brothers and sisters in Christ will do. They'll help you stay on the right path. So if you're here and going through trial today, don't you let the devil get you out of this good church. That's a big mistake. You stay in here. Keep praying. You keep trying. You keep claiming the promises of God. When you find them promises of God and you pray them back to him, you'll see something happen, I guarantee you. God don't chasten us to embarrass us. He chastens us to correct us. But there were still times I'd get angry at the Lord because all the trials we were having to go through. I'm thinking I had a right to harbor resentment. But I'd go to church and the pastor would enter the pulpit and preach a message, and God would let the air out of my loophole that day. And I'd go home with peace in my soul. Even after all the years, God, all the work God had done, there were still times when I'd struggle. I remember asking God one day, why couldn't I have a godly wife? Why couldn't my children have a godly mother? In the midst of my sin, my pastor preached a message out of Numbers chapter 11, where the children of Israel were complaining about the manna they'd been given and how they wished they were back in bondage where they had the garlics and leek and melons and the onions. Now, there wasn't nothing wrong with what they were wanting. Ain't nothing wrong with leeks and onions and garlic and stuff like that. But the reason God's anger was kindled against them is because they were not satisfied with what they'd been given. I wasn't given a good godly wife because that wasn't what made me change. That ain't what would make me like Christ. And when I got a hold of that, that helped me. Another huge struggle arose in my heart after my wife and I divorced, when I found out where my pastor and many stood on divorce and remarriage. They believe it's questionable for me to ever be allowed to remarry. So for the last 14 years, I've lived without a wife, and I've reared my children as God gave me the grace to do so. And as I would struggle with bitterness and resentment about them things, think about quitting, wanting to go to a loose, easy believism church. Once again, my pastor entered the pulpit and began preaching a message about Christ sending his disciples out into a storm while he went up on the mountain to pray. In the midst of the storm, the disciples saw Christ walking on the water as they toiled at the oars, and they were afraid. But Jesus cried out and said, "Be not afraid, it is I." Brothers and sisters, the storm is the Lord. His purpose for us is to change, because when he saves us, we're not like Christ, but he's intent on us changing. I realized that day because it stood out real clear to me, "Be not afraid, it is I." Just as he had sent me out into a storm. When Peter saw that it was the Lord, he said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And the Lord said, "Come." As long as Peter kept his eyes on Christ, he could do miraculous things. He was literally walking on the water. But when he took his eyes off Christ, he began to look at the storm and the lightning and the waves, and he began to sink. Brothers and sisters, I too have had to keep my eyes on Christ to raise my daughters for the Lord these last many years by myself. And each time I take my eyes off Christ, I too begin to drown. We're living in a wicked world and in wicked times, brothers and sisters. If we don't keep our eyes on Christ, we'll drown too. We'll fall away. We've got to learn to take sin and living for God more serious. And for those here today that truly don't know the Lord in a saving way, I don't know who you are, but I remember well the lies Satan used to try to keep me from coming to Christ. At the same time, Christ was drawing me to himself. He said, "What will your drinking buddies think if you go and get saved? They'll make fun of you. What will the people in the church think if you walk that aisle and get saved?" These are lies right out of a devil's hell. If you're here today without Christ and you feel God tugging on your heart and you want to come be saved, if there's anybody here that would do anything other than rejoice with you, they need to be up here making things right with God too. In Luke chapter 7, we have a good example of this. There was a woman there. When she found Jesus was at the Pharisee's house, Bible says she was a sinner. But her sins had evidently gotten so heavy that day, she let nothing or no one keep her from coming to Christ. She came in that religious leader's house knowing that they knew what manner of woman she was. Her eyes had once been inlets and outlets of sin, but before she left, her eyes were a river. There was a change wrought about in her that her eyes became a river that knelt down and washed her Savior's feet. Sure enough, the religious leader tried to make fun over there, thinking if, you know, the Lord was really who he was, he'd know what manner this woman was. And I love this part because Jesus said, "Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee." He took him aside and rebuked him because he was looking down on that woman. He rebuked him, but that woman got praised that day because she loved the Lord. She went away a changed woman. I'll close with this. John 6:44 says, "No man can come to me except the Father who has sent me draws him." If you feel the Spirit of God drawing you and tugging on your heart today, today would be a good day to see you saved. Don't believe the lies that Satan will tell you either, because John 6:37 says, "All that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and him that cometh unto me I'll in no wise cast out." I appreciate your time today. I thank you for the invitation, and I don't know if I can be or not, but if there's any way I can be a help to anybody here today after the service, I'd love to do so. Brother Aaron.
Numerous applications from this life. It's said that a message from purely and only a head reaches purely and only a head. Message from a heart reaches a heart, but a message from a whole life can reach a whole life. How about you? Christian person, are you going through a difficult trial? Are you, though, in the midst of it, still trying to stiff-arm God and go your own way? If you're still insistent on it being your way instead of the Lord's way, you're not going to be getting very far. How about in the midst of the trial? Has the Lord really brought you to a place where you have gotten serious, and I mean serious, about your prayer life? This brother hasn't shared hardly even a tenth of the huge answers to prayer. I wonder if really the reason why not very many of us pray or believe in prayer is because we're not serious about it. How about with the rearing of our own children? This fella here, and I'm not trying to praise him, this fella here lived in a rescue mission because he wanted to do what he could in influencing his children. Not asking you to do the exact same thing with your children, what he did. And I don't think God's asking you to live in a rescue mission, but are you willing to make some sacrifices so that you have good, godly children and doing whatever you possibly can to instill godliness into them? He made applications about the church. I wasn't expecting that. I didn't know he was going to say that. Are there any applications concerning church with you? Most importantly, concerning your marriage, the dearest relationship on this life. Are you willing to follow the Lord concerning your marriage? And beyond it all, here's the most important. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Are you sure beyond a shadow of a doubt, I mean a shadow of a doubt, that if you were to die, if this place were to be hit by ISIL, I trust our country's provision for the common defense. I trust that. But let's just hypothetically imagine we are all dead. Are you positive, without any question, that you would be welcomed in by God, all of your sins completely forgiven, that you don't have to deal with any of them? If you're not convinced of that, or if you know, you may know, I know I'm not completely forgiven. I don't know that God would let me in. I know that I'm unsaved. Why not come and deal with the Lord? Quit being miserable. Some of you may be like Brother Homer used to be, though, right? The Bible says in Hebrews 11 that sin is fun. There's pleasure with sin, and I can understand. We want to hold on to that. There's greater pleasure with the Lord, though. And there's forgiveness and release. If the Lord has spoken to you about any of these things in a specific way, we'd be glad to pray with you or pray for you. And we're going to change the invitation hymn to the one that he mentioned, number 319, "Just As I Am." Thank you. Number 319, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. Lamb of God, I come. Let's bow for prayer and ask the Lord's work here. Father, I pray, Lord, as we've just had a little bit of activity and reaching even for these hymnals, the whole hour can break, and your Spirit working could almost break with that. Lord, I pray that you would help us here now, that we would be serious with you, because when we get serious with you, you're serious with us. Father, we pray that you would help us to be the kind of people we ought to be, that we would grow and change in our relationships with our spouse, with our children, in our trials, but Lord, most importantly, in our prayer life with you, as we deal trials with you, as we grow in you and with your people. But Lord, I pray especially for some, if there are any here today who really don't know Jesus, that today would be the day of salvation for them. Help us, Lord, now in this time of invitation, we ask in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. If you have a need, we invite you to come. Let's stand, please, and we'll sing number 319.